Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 380. Tonight we'll be discussing the news of the last 48 hours or so, Monday Night Raw recap, NXT TV recap. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jarrett Aubrey. And fellas, how the hell are ya?
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of news. We're getting into WrestleMania season, and we've been seeing some stuff develop that we thought we might see develop. So I'm anxious to get talking here.
We're like the Simpsons of the pro wrestling world. We predict a lot of stuff before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on in wrestling over the last week? There's been more news than, you know, you can shake a stick at, and we're busier than dogs with two noses. So let's get at her and see what's going on.
Exactly. And if the news could slow down, that'd be great. But it's not gonna. But we got more episodes a week to cover it, so here we are. So earlier this week, Simone Johnson, aka Ava in NXT, deletes her Twitter account because she's received death threats in regards to the Cody Roman Rock situation that she has nothing to do with. And that is a damn shame. If you are one of those people sending death threats, you are not a fan of professional wrestling, and you give the rest of us a bad name, and you need to get a life. In other news...
And they're probably gutless cowards to boot, because nobody's going to put their name to something like that.
Oh, the keyboard warriors.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, we had a new update from the Brian Pillman estate on Tuesday. Brittany Pillman Evans, the daughter of Brian Pillman, posted on her Instagram stories showing that the Pillman estate has reached a Legends deal with WWE and new Brian Pillman merchandise is coming soon. Which is interesting because we don't have a Brian Pillman Jr., but we have Alexis King. So I guess the two are going to stay separate.
I'd wondered how that was going to work, but I mean, if they're happy with it, if everybody's happy all around, then good for them. Well, I certainly wouldn't mind having a deluxe Brian Pillman action figure.
There you go. Or an elite one. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think probably like our age group is going to know who he is. So it's perhaps time to educate the youngins.
Oh yeah, get a Hollywood Blondes 2-pack. Imagine a Steve Austin action figure with hair.
Now's the time they do the retrospectives and stuff on the network and everything, and that would be pretty cool. So yeah, I'd be down for that.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, Warner Brothers Discovery, Fox, and ESPN will be teaming up for a new sports streaming service, it was announced on Tuesday. It will bring together sports linear networks and direct-to-consumer service ESPN+. Offerings will include the NFL, the NBA, the WNBA, MLB, NHL, NASCAR, college sports, UFC, PGA Tour golf, Grand Slam tennis, the FIFA World Cup, cycling, and much more. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, by subscribing to this focused, all-in-one premier sports service, fans would have access to the linear sports networks, including ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, the SEC network.
ESPN8?
No.
The Ocho?
Ocho.
Yeah.
The ACC network, ESPN News, ABC, Fox, FS1, FS2, the Big Ten Network, and TNT and TBS, which means you will get AEW programming on this streaming service. Now, will that lead to Tony striking a deal with this new streaming service to also get the catalog history of AEW on there, as well as pay-per-views? To be determined. It's also going to be determined what this streaming service will be called and how much it will cost. But it's interesting that you can get AEW programming streamed through this new service.
Yeah. What's interesting for me about this is, well, first off, we're talking a package that includes stuff from ESPN, which is owned by Disney, and TNT TBS, owned by WBD, as well as Fox, because the Fox Sports, my understanding is that the current like Fox TV shows and stuff like that that are being produced and Fox News, I should say that like the Fox Entertainment and Fox News are two different things. And Fox Sports, I believe, falls under the news stuff. So it's essentially three companies that are getting put together into this sports thing. That's what's interesting to me about this. You basically have Fox Sports, Disney, and WBD that are kind of all in on this single streaming service. And that makes it pretty unique. If AEW stuff is on it, it would make me wonder if it's going to be exactly what we see on TBS and TNT, or if it would be the Fight TV versions that are available overseas, where if the match is shown in picture in picture, you actually see it in its entirety on the international versions. Because if they have that, I'm all in, even if I have to pay more for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're talking all the other major sports leagues that you mentioned, you know, NFL, MLB, those kinds of things, I mean, they all have their own, you know, premium pass services right now. So centralizing that kind of thing would be interesting, and having everything in one spot. The price is going to be the interesting part, though. See what they charge for all of this conglomerated stuff together.
Yeah. It almost seems like it's kind of what Netflix was originally, when it was a whole bunch of other stuff together until all the other companies started putting out their own streaming services.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like right now, you pay for MLB Pass, you pay for, you know, NFL, you pay for NHL. And so if they can bundle it all together and perhaps even make it cheaper, then hello.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why I have cable, is for live sports.
Yeah.
Much like everything else, time will tell. And the last news item came from earlier today in a surprise move. Anthem fires Scott D'Amore from TNA Wrestling. He is no longer the president. Apparently, he won't be retained in any capacity, meaning the only on-screen authority figure is now Santino Marella. They have replaced Scott D'Amore with somebody internally with Anthem, Anthony Chacon. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Not related to Madonna. Different spelling.
Yeah. And yeah, I saw that. I thought the same thing.
Yeah. And apparently he was instrumental in getting WWE on the Score in Canada. So Anthem is a Canadian-based company, so they hired from within. We'll have to see how this
It's goes. One of those things, I think I can see both sides of it. Obviously, Scott D'Amore is the wrestling guy. He would know the booking wrestling, but it sounds like Anthem being a TV company, they might see more value in the guy that can negotiate TV deals for them. That's just kind of my 2 cents shot in the dark there.
Yep. Along those lines too. And, you know, I like how they say fired and, you know, not released or anything. It was when they used the more, the tough term. So I don't know what was behind all this, Josh. Have you heard why he was fired?
There has been no reason why, other than they were trying to streamline everything in terms of if it's an Anthem product, it's run by an Anthem employee. Although technically, isn't everybody in TNA an Anthem employee? So I don't know.
Independent contractor.
Yeah. What's interesting is they held a Zoom meeting with talent, telling them, and a lot of people were not pleased, but they were offered, and I don't think it was everybody across the board, but I guess certain people, or depending on whatever qualifiers there were, if this upset them enough to want to leave, they could negotiate their release. So do we get people who are just going to toe the company line, Or is anybody going to be upset enough to suddenly become a free agent? Also, it was noted that D'Amore was very instrumental in the relationship with WWE. So, don't know if that's going to happen again in the future. Okay, let's get to Raw. And we're just going to hit the highlights. Not everything will be discussed. The opening segment is Seth, who brings out Cody, and then they're interrupted by Drew. And interesting things to note here is the crowd, very much heavily inundated with "we want Cody" signs, "we want Cody" chants. They actually chant "Rocky sucks," which it was later reported that WWE were actually taken aback by those chants and were not expecting those in particular. And Seth really wasn't either, as he mentioned almost out of character that he wasn't anticipating hearing that one. Michael Cole also responded to it, asking if it was 1996 all over again.
Well, in 96, they were chanting "Die, Rocky, Die," but...
Yeah. Right. Cody does not get to say much here, and he doesn't give any explanation as to what went down on SmackDown. But I will have to say that Drew McIntyre is on fire right now. This guy... understands the character he's trying to get across, and between the punk trolling and the way he carried himself during this segment was amazing. He had an answer for everything. He was even trying to set up himself versus Seth at WrestleMania, where Seth says, if Cody doesn't accept my challenge, what makes you think it's going to be you and me? Didn't I beat you already twice? And Drew's like, that was due to outside interference both times. And if you want to go down that path, hasn't this guy beaten you three in a row? So just great stuff.
Yep. The heel that can tell the truth.
Yeah. If it was up to me, hell, Drew would be the one beating Seth. And then you can have Cody chasing him as the face chasing the heel champion. Like, Drew's just killing it right now. The punk stuff got me on board, and now he's slaying it right now.
Yeah. But one thing I'll add about the crowd reaction and the Rocky chants, all those pro Cody signs, I mean, I'd heard that they were handing them out, and, you know, that looks to be true, because if you notice, all those signs look the same. So... unless a whole bunch of people somehow decided to make identical signs, or they were handed them getting into the building. I think we both know which one was more likely.
Yeah, that's nothing new, though.
Should we make a unique sign? No, default, Arial.
Default font.
Print.
No, it's Aptos now.
Well, these people don't have Aptos. Come on.
Everybody knows the impact font is what you're supposed to do when you make memes.
Oh, man.
So elsewhere on Raw, before we got to the main event, Gunther celebrated passing 600 days as Intercontinental Champion, was looking for competition, and main event Jey Uso stepped up. And Gunther also slaying it on the mic as a heel. Amazing in his promo as well. I'm here for Jay to win the Intercontinental title. If it's not going to be Braun Breaker, I'm here for Jay doing it too. As we mentioned on SmackDown, we had a Fatal 4-Way Championship qualifier match, and the winner of that was Big Strong Boys, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne. And the Fatal 4-Way match that we got on Raw was DIY defeating the Creed Brothers, Imperium, and the New Day. So we are going to get DIY versus Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. And if that's not NXT old school black and gold, I don't know what is. So I'm definitely looking forward to that on SmackDown.
That'd be freaking awesome.
Is, Is there any question that Hunter's in charge now?
Yeah. Right. I was doubting before, but now I'm sure. Sarcasm, if you couldn't tell. And in the main event that really they tried to set it up over the weekend, and still with the impact of what happened Friday and the lack of an explanation, I really couldn't care less about this main event. But Cody Rhodes defeated Shinsuke Nakamura in a bull rope match. And the only historical note of importance was that this was the same bull rope that Dusty Rhodes used in his bull rope matches. But other than that, really wasn't, had really no bearing on anything.
So it's supposedly the same one used in those famous pictures of him and Superstar Graham in that bull rope match where they're both bleeding buckets.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Man, Cody using his dad's stuff is like Optimus Prime in the touch, right? Like he's unbeatable at that point.
Yeah.
I don't like it when people talk about my dad, but I'm going to keep using stuff related to my dad. Pick a lane, damn it. All right. Any other thoughts from Raw? Anything I might have not mentioned, but you had something to say on before we switch over to NXT?
Nope. I think we got it all.
Well, yeah, you touched on it, Josh, but I'm there too. If it, you know, Gunther's got the record now for the longest IC title reign, it's okay for him to lose it. And like you said, I'm all there for it being Jey Uso. Give him a run.
Definitely. I'd be okay do-kay with that. All right. Well, NXT was supposed to start with the Dusty Cup celebration, but it was actually started by Carmelo Hayes. And if you saw this, you'll know, but if you didn't see it, I'll try to do my best to explain the levels of heat that Melo had from this crowd. It's always a small crowd, but you couldn't tell by the loud levels of booing and chanting. The funny thing is he came out with a chair. It was supposed to be the chair that he walloped Trick with, but that chair did not make it to the venue in time, so he just came out with a brand new chair. It was supposed to be symbolism, though. And the funny thing is, NXT airs on the USA Network, and the crowd in Orlando was chanting, "Fuck you, Melo," and they had to bleep it out, only it wasn't bleeps, it was silence, kind of like Fox does, and I can't wait till these deals are over so that we can get uncensored stuff. But so it led to the WWE staff coming out during a commercial to tell the crowd to stop dropping F-bombs so that they didn't have to censor the show and have it be mostly silent when the announcers are trying to tell you something. And nobody could hear it because of the F-U bombs. So Melo says, "Not yet," meaning I'm not going to explain myself yet. And he actually leaves. But then he comes back later on, about halfway through the show, and he's going to cut his promo. And so instead of "F you, Melo," the crowd switches to "Screw you, Melo." So we had "Screw you, Melo" chants. We had other chants that included "You're not him," "Shut the hell up." And an interesting one that they were chanting, "Melo, come get these hands. Melo, come get these hands."
Yeah, I heard that.
This crowd was so lit on fire. It was awesome. And they drew another page out of the HBK historical playbook where mid-explanation Trick Williams music started playing, and Melo initially looked startled. And then he just started doing a little dance and no Trick. Melo says, "Boy, can't get anything past you people, can I?" And he says, Trick ain't here. He's laid up in the hospital next to Booker T, chanting that stupid song. And then it got more raining down with boos and chants, and this crowd was just off the charts. So it was basically what I did like about this promo was it was none of blaming the fans, like he said, leaving the ring at the end of the pay-per-view on Sunday, because we've all expressed our disgust with heel turn, saying, oh, it's your fault, it's the people's fault, you made me do this, and blah, blah, blah. Luckily they changed that, and he did not blame the fans. He just said that this is who he's always been, and basically Trick got too big for his britches, according to Mello, and Mello had to tell, you know, put him in his place and tell him that he's the hype man, and that's all he's ever going to be. So great stuff from Carmelo throughout the show. We did have the Dusty Cup celebration with the Wolf Dogs, who are, of course, Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. Baron doesn't like the name. Bron came up with the name for the team. It's interesting here because the dynamic, these guys are two heels recently on TV, but it looks like they're making Bron a face on the main roster, because if we recall in the Royal Rumble, he had his Steiner color tights on instead of just wearing black. And so now in NXT, that they're the number one contenders for the titles, Braun's kind of acting babyface-ish a little bit, and Baron's still the heavy heel. So that'll be interesting to see where that dynamic goes and how long Braun remains in NXT before sticking to the main roster. We had an excellent tag team match between Axiom and Nathan Frazier versus Idris Enofe and Malik Blade. Crowd was chanting Malik the Freak, and this guy can move like nobody's business. I was very entertained by this match. Liked it a lot. And the only other thing I wanted to touch on, other than the great main event between Ilya Dragunov and Dijak, was they ran this vignette again that they ran during Vengeance Day, and it's the Three Faces vignette that I call it. And it's just text-based, and it says, man has three faces. One the world sees, one his family sees, and the real one no one sees but reflects the evil he truly possesses. Now, since Sunday night, it was explained that this is a proverb, and it's a Japanese proverb, where they basically ripped the exact proverb, except in the third face, the proverb says, the third face you never show anyone, it is the truest reflection of who you are. So they tweaked that a little bit, and they inserted the word evil in there, and people are speculating, is this Okada? Is it Julia? Is it perhaps Tama Tonga? All people coming from New Japan who would know this Japanese proverb. So I'm not sure if you guys have any thoughts on who it might be, but I just think it's very interesting and it should be an interesting reveal.
Yeah, I'd agree. Any of those people would be great pickups. I've seen very little of Julia just because really I've only really seen her on the New Japan Strong shows. But obviously, if everybody knows how much I like Okada, and I've been saying for years that I'm actually kind of flabbergasted Tama Tonga isn't in WWE yet, because his resume hits everything that they would like. You know, good-looking guy, good body, athletic. He's a big guy that can move. So, you know, if it's any of those three, I mean, sky's the limit for him probably.
It would be great if it was Okada because of the line that it reflects the evil he truly possesses. And of course, as we have established and said before, evil was the faction that he was in charge of.
Mm-hmm. Chaos, yeah.
Oh, chaos, my bad.
Chaos, yeah.
Well, I guess it has nothing to do with Okada then.
Although, there was a wrestler named Evil who is part of Bullet Club now. You know, he's got his own spinoff, Evil's House of Torture, but yeah. Now, chaos is where, but right. Nakamura has been saying about bringing chaos. So
right.
it's My possible bad. That might have been what he was referencing.
It's Kevin Owens has an evil tattoo on his forearm. It's Kevin Owens. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens repackaged.
Yeah. Just working, wasn't working on the main roster guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other comments, thoughts on NXT TV?
I mean, you touched on the main event. That was, I'm not even like a Dijak fan really, but I really liked that main event match. That was pretty cool. It was that punch he threw at the end, you know, to go after the nose or whatever. I'm like, oh man, he tagged him for real. I'm like, oh, but then, you know, they sold it really well. The face full of blood afterwards. It just all looked so good.
I think Ilya should just be called the human pincushion. All right. Well, our next episode is going to be a little different, a little unique. And why is that? Oh, it's because WWE felt it would be fun to add another day of programming in. So tomorrow we will discuss Dynamite, yes, but also tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central Time, streaming on Peacock and YouTube, will be the press event in Las Vegas for WrestleMania. And in attendance will be Triple H, Roman, The Rock, Cody, and oh yeah, I guess Rhea and Becky and Bianca as well. So this has a high potential of combustible elements. Oh, and it's open to the public. Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going to cover that and, we'll have to see where it goes and see if we get any kind of explanations or announcements. I would have to imagine we have something. Otherwise, why bother?
I have to assume that it's going to be mostly in character.
It would have
to. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not like a post-show press conference where you can just be who you want to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But you did. Sorry, Seth, go ahead.
Oh, my hunch is this is going to be the springboard angle that is going to be the main event angle for WrestleMania. You're going to see that thing where it looks like it's going to be The Rock and then Roman, and then maybe Cody's music will hit and he'll show up. And whether it's going to be a three-way or whether they do the night one, night two thing, I think that's when they're going to announce that. So, because obviously the match with Seth was never made official. So that Cody will probably throw a monkey wrench in by either making it a three-way or saying, you two fight each other, fine, I'll fight the winner on Sunday.
Oh God, if they make a three-way of Rock and Roman, like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm completely out.
Yeah. I've said before, I just hate three-ways in title matches, but I kind of selfishly want it to be a two-night thing because that's what I was saying there should have done last year. So
we're going to add a third night of WrestleMania and it's going to be a round robin tournament.
Yeah.
Jeez.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's not give them any ideas. So
I just tagged on to what you sent in about what The Rock said about showing up at this press conference, this media event, that, you know, something like, what do you, let's see what this long gamer has. And he keeps referencing that. So you've got to expect that this family program is coming up and I'm kind of jacked for that, but let's see how they handle this Cody stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to repeat the quote, but he got off a plane, landed in Vegas, and said, I have a feeling this press conference will be talked about forever. Signing off, your long gamer. And he gets into a vehicle and drives away. So, yeah, we'll have to see. And based on what happens, could be an interesting show tomorrow. So until then, once again, Thank you again for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.